Praise
Love
the
Talk
Lord.
Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I do apologize for my late sign-in. I was so involved in doing some research. I lost track of the time. Please, please forgive me. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and this is an exciting season. And a lot is going on in the spirit realm, and a lot of things that we need to make sure we are aware of and we understand the foundation of these things. And so, I've been up for a while. It's going to be a unique day. I'm also on school duty as well. So definitely pray for Timothy today because he has his grandma as his school support. And that's not necessarily a good thing, particularly since I am on Blog Talk Radio with you guys. So welcome this morning. Everybody's phone is on speaker, so you're encouraged to share, as we are coming near to the end of our book of powerful prayers for supernatural results. Just the first word of the title of the book, powerful, powerful. We need to get a new mindset on that word, powerful. And that was one of the things that I was researching. This is a Jewish season when they are going up to their new year. Their new year is on September 18th, just a little FYI, and that Labors for Christ. We're having the blowing of the shofars along with those marching through the building for dedicating the building and coming to service with our prayer shawls. Powerful prayers. This is something that we have that it belongs to us. It has so much value that the enemy would like to steal it from us because he knows how powerful and how valuable it is. And he likes to get us entrenched in a thing so that we're doing it, but we're not being it. And so when we're looking at these powerful prayers and just the word powerful, we're coming to understand that we have to be reminded periodically of who we serve, of our Creator. And that was one of the things God did with the children of Israel. He instituted fast days and feast days and celebration days so that the children of Israel would gather together in that fellowship. That fellowship brings healing. There's healing in the gathering fellowship of the saints. And he would have them gather before him. And as a family and as a unit, they would remember the different awesome supernatural things that God had done for them as he brought them forth from Egypt. And so one of the things was the sounding of the shofar would call the people together. It would cause them to know they get attention like you hear it, you're doing your daily chores as they did, but they would hear that sound, and depending on how it sounded, it gave them instructions for what they should do next. And so, as I was saying, I was looking that up, and on this particular, in this season, and they call it Teshuvah. This is the season of Teshuvah that's leading up to the new year, which is a celebration of the creation of mankind. They often call it the birthday of Adam and Eve, but it was when God created the earth. That's when their year starts, and their year starts at the end of August, and it goes through, that's going towards the end, and then it culminates on September 18th. And during this period, this season of Teshuvah, this period leading up to the new year, they started preparing themselves spiritually for the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, which is 10 days after the start of the new year. And to do this, part of the custom was to blow the shofar every day, because it was to wake them up. It was to jar them to remember that their total focus during this particular time of the year was to solely be on turning back to God, on examining themselves and weighing themselves and getting into realignment with God, awakening themselves to the responsibilities that the Lord had given them on the Mount Sinai when he freed them from the Egyptians. And so because of that sounding of the shofar, it would cause them to stop in their tracks that day, reminding them that they were gathering, that they had a direction as a people that they were supposed to take. And there was going to be a battle. The spiritual warfare also was a reasoning for blasting the alarm. But the shofar also, it was a call to worship. Let's stop and let's worship God. And sometimes, you know, when you're in your work week and your work day and your routine, we know God, but we may not be in a place of worship. And so that's what the blowing of the shofar every day until that we'll call it September 18th, which was the new year. This is what they did. And so Labor for Christ is going to blow their shofar on that day as well and go through and dedicate the church to God. One of the things that is calling the people, the sound and the blast of the shofar, called the people to consecrate. So there's so many scriptures that give us a complete insight as to the use and the importance of the shofar, as well as the shofar during this particular time of the year in the Jewish culture. One of the things that they do after their new year is called 10 Days of Awe, A-W-E. 10 days when they do nothing but sit and fast. No, they didn't fast. They would fast till the end. But as they just were in awe of what God did, of him bringing them out of Egypt, of all of the things he did when he brought them out, all of the miracles, signs, and wonders, and then bringing us back to a worshipful view of who God is and who he is in our life. And so as a result, those things were powerful. They were powerful, supernatural results of a people who had chosen God as their, the Lord as their God. And so in looking at those things, we are brought to understand there is so much more power that is available that God wants to give us. He wants us to understand and know just what heaven is for us and what it can do for us, why it is in covenant with us and what that covenant looks like, and not to truly feel like there is no thing too hard for God. And if that is true, then we go and understand what the oils are that have been released in the church, the oil of gladness, the oil of rejoicing, the oil of joy. These are the oils that we should have because we are in awe of who God is, and we understand that no matter what is happening, God is going to use it for his glory. We say that all the time, but he's going to use that to perfect us. He's not surprised by it. It did not come to him unbeknownst. He knew it was going to happen, and he wants us to understand that he is in control. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of everything. Everything that he has created is subject to be into obedience to him. It must obey him, and it does. And whatever is befalling us, whatever is happening, God is in his own plan. That's there, and it's going to bring about a result that the enemy had no idea that that's what was going to happen. And so as a result, he needs us to trust whatever is happening, to trust and know that it's okay, because this is the will of God for our life, just as with Christ. It may not have seemed like a very positive thing, the things that he had to endure, and yet he said he did it with joy, as it, because he understood and trusted, but he understood the powerful God that was in charge of these things. And so we're going to this last chapter. One second, please. I got to blow my nose. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm back. All right, okay. And so that's where we find ourselves today, and this is the season, not just today, but this is the season we find ourselves in, and it has coincided with the Jewish season of the same thing, of realizing the all-powerfulness of God and examining ourselves to make sure we're in line and in alignment with his will and his word, so that the manifestations of his miracles, signs, and wonders will follow us all the days of our life, because that was the promise. That was the promise to this generation. He said to a generation to come, this is what was going to happen. He was going to pour his spirit out. These are promises that we embrace. These are promises that we build on. These are promises that we build on. And so we use them to understand the intensity of the relationship that God wants to have with us. And it's nothing too much. In other words, you know, it's like, don't take all that. It takes that and more. And all that it takes, Christ gave. And he said, until you have suffered to the shedding of blood, you haven't done much yet. And so I think that what we are always in a place to be reminded of are those great things that God has done. I know our opening song for much of this month has been, he is an awesome wonder. And he is an awesome wonder when you think of the things that the Lord God has done. And so our lesson is opening up. So questions, comments, insights, inspiration? Anybody? All righty. It starts with Acts 4th chapter, 28th, 29th, and 30th verse. It says, Now, Lord, look on their threat, and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And so he is speaking to the early church. And the church, we know, simply means the ecclesia, which is called out ones. The church had been rendered assembly, and sometimes in scripture. And remember, we talked about it's so important to assemble yourself together. And that's what we have to be, because that's who we are. Not a doing, but that's who we are. It can be used to mean a local community of believers who assemble together to worship and study the word of God. That's our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Or it can be global in in scope, referring to all truly saved persons under the new covenant. And we know the new covenant came to us through Jesus Christ. On this Sunday, we are actually going to have that communion service to commemorate that new covenant, that covenant of salvation, that covenant of eternal relationship being one, redeemed, one for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, to those who qualify as the ecclesia, do not just go to church. They are the church. That's not doing that. That is becoming. So this common biblical term does not refer to a building set aside for worship or to an organization. On the contrary, the church is an organism. It is a living body of believers who are united by a common experience of heart. I love that. That common experience of the heart, our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that has brought us to redemption. There are many different churches and denominations and groups with different worship styles or doctrinal variations. I love that. It's not doctrinal differences, but it says doctrinal variations. And the reason is because this living body of believers, we are united by a common heart. And that no matter what the doctrinal variations are, that common heart, that belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying sinless and paying our sin debt is what brings us into the organism, the living body of Christ. But only one true church, which is made up of all born-again believers, regardless of their affiliation. And sometimes we have to remember that. We have to remember that in our spirit so that we don't become haughty or prejudice or think more of ourselves than we are. We are all, regardless of our affiliations, we are all a part of the body of Christ, regardless of our color, regardless of our nation, regardless of of anything. We are one. That is the whole object behind, or not object, the premise behind the AEN. It's an apostolic gathering of true born again believers. And it's apostolic because it is their sent. This is what we were called out to do as one, no matter who you are, where you come from. This is what you were called out to do, was to become one. Unfortunately, the word church has become, you know, a word that we use to, a lot of people use to call themselves Christians. However, just as they are not all Israelites who are of Israel, and that's what it shares in Romans, Paul, he says, just because they from here don't mean they are. They are here. And so this is what he's saying. They are not all the church who claim to be in the church. But globally, there are more than 2 billion people in what could be called the professing church. I love the way the author shares that. He says, those who profess belief in the historical existence of the Lord Jesus Christ and who intellectually adhere to the values of what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, the salvation of the human race. However, there is a small core group within the professing church that could be termed the possessing church, those who actually possess a relationship with the Savior. There is the scripture, I think it's John 17, he shares, he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. It's not just enough to know about God or to know the names of God and profess those names. It's not enough. It is essential to know God, to possess that power. And that's why we say this: these prayers bring this power to us. This prayer causes us to possess those things of heaven. Powerful prayers bring supernatural results because it brings us into a possessing position with heaven and Jesus Christ. And so when the true church prays in faith, heaven responds. For of all people on the face of the earth, they have the connection necessary to bring divine intervention to bear on any and all negative situations and circumstances. We have the ear of God. They are the pillar and foundation of truth. It is shared in 2 Timothy 3:15. And God's conduit of power to bring about true revival. There's that power. We want to possess that power. Powerful prayers bring about supernatural results. And that powerful possessing position causes us to be conduits of the power of heaven to flow upon the earth and bring real, true revival. That's the thing that's going to change the hearts of man. That's the thing that's going to cause justice and injustice to prevail and inequality to be overthrown. That's the thing that will bring true love and not hate or hypocrisy or greed. That is the thing that is going to bring about true revival of the people's soul back to their God. That's what this period of teshuvah is, bringing your soul back into alignment with God. Because there's a lot of people that say they know a lot of good people, and a lot of good people are not the people that will possess the power to bring about revival on the earth, nor will they be able to, no matter how much they march and sing and protest and whatever. It's not going to be bring about revival. That will not change anything. That only gives people a false sense of having accomplished something or having stood up for something. But unless we stand up and bring back into alignment our hearts and our minds and our thinking according to the word of God, then the enemy is still in charge. There are far too often those who belong to the church who live beneath our privilege, failing to fully realize the influence that we have in heaven. Far too often they do not bother praying and allowing negative circumstances to rule unopposed. That's that place where the joy, the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, oil of rejoicing. I'm leaving out another oil on that comes. I'll find it in a minute. The oil of praise. Jesus, how could I forget that? The oil of praise. Because if we don't have that power, if we have not allowed the Lord we have not received the release of the oil of gladness, of the understanding that no matter what, we have that power to change and to fight its warfare, that negative circumstances and situations, the things that's going on in our society today, should not bring us to a place of even, I'm going to say complaint, but of acknowledging it. It should bring us to a place of warring against it by acknowledging the power of God, by acknowledging the presence of God, by acknowledging the person of God, by in all our ways acknowledging him. And then he will direct our path. And it may be that he sends you to picket. He may be that he does send you to protest. But you would be doing it in his name, and it would bring him glory, and you would be doing it according to the way he establishes it to be done. One of the things that Apostle preached on this past Sunday was that this is a time that God is bringing us to a place we've never been before. You're going to do things you've never done before, and you're going to see things you've never seen before. And we have started seeing that already. This was the same thing, same place that the children of Israel found themselves in. It was their day of Pentecost when this was established, this new year. This was established on their day of Pentecost when they became a nation under God, under his, under his glory. And it was rest upon them as he connected with them in communication through his prophets, through those that have had surrendered themselves to the move of the Spirit. Okay. When he was preparing to establish a tabernacle for them to meet him in, where he would write his name, and it was in that place that they would turn to, they would pray to, and he would hear and he would answer. And so all of these, I pray that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened so that we will understand the hope of our calling and we can see the picture that he is laying out before us. God is a God of patterns. He's a God of order. And he does a thing, and then he illuminates it to us in many different ways, but in the same pattern. And so we want to be able to let the scales fall from our eyes so that we can see that. So often people say, well, you know, why would you be celebrating something that's Jewish and you're not Jewish and whatever? But the Bible says, you know, that if we believe in Jesus Christ, okay, then we believe in the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those promises and those covenants are for us, and they cover us. And so to also involve ourselves in some of the activities that bring this back to our fresh, to our minds and to our spirit, that renews us and renews our relationship and our understanding with him, then they would not be the kinds of things that will bring him honor. They will bring him honor, and they will bring us into that possessing position with the Lord God Almighty. And so we have a lot of powerful examples of individuals in this book and their prayers. And it's this one, said the prayers of the early church. We should know the climate in which it was prayed. And as soon as the church was born on the day of Pentecost, violent opposition rose up against it. Jesus had prophesied that this kind of backlash, when he said his kingdom would raise up against kingdoms, that kingdoms would raise up against kingdoms. You should read in Matthew 24:7. Because on the highest, he may have been referring to the kingdom of darkness rising up against the kingdom of light, and how they bashed and slammed into each other, resulting in outbreaks of revival and harsh reactions from those who are deceived and carnally minded. I love that description. He says that they bashed and slammed into each other. That is a violent interaction, and a violent interaction requires a powerful, powerful position so that we would overcome. And that position was given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, because I have overcome, you will overcome. So we need to be reminded sometimes, and not just reminded, but grow to the next dimension, to not be deceived nor carnally minded. And this is a shares as like that coming together, that slashing and bashing and slamming each other, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And that's what we're seeing. We're Light just doesn't have any part with darkness. And when we stand against it and come out of darkness altogether, because so often we're on the fence, so part of our thinking is in the dark side, and the other part is in the side of the living God. And so we kind of straddle it, and so we're not having that kind of encounter, that kind of powerful encounter, because we're lukewarm, because we're what do you say, frightening with the enemy. The word begin whatever. I'm probably not saying it right, but anyway, the enemy becomes our friend in certain areas. How is that? And when that happens, then it negates even those areas in which we know the enemy to be the enemy. And so we need to be in a place where we trigger earthquakes in the spirit realm. And that's a powerful place. And we are triggering those earthquakes because we are declaring the dominant position in the world and in the church. And that's that takeover of those mountains. We are declaring God to have that dominant position, the king of the kingdom of light having the dominant position, and those walls of darkness and wickedness from the kingdom of darkness being torn down by those who are taking over those mountains. And so we see how all of these things become a part, are being revealed, that have been a part of our learning and our teaching. This has been the meals and the nourishment that we've been getting over the years, and they're leading up, they're culminating to a place where this kind of earthquake response, that violent takeover by the kingdom of light, is going to happen. But we have to be a prepared soldier. We have to be prepared and fortified. And our fortification and our preparation comes through the word of God and through the power that we allow the Holy Spirit to release in our life, which is why our next book is going to be the Sevenfold Spirit of God. Sevenfold Spirit of God. Because this is the strategy that the Lord has been revealing to his people. Being in an apostolic house allows us to see beyond four walls and today and tomorrow, but into the next century, into the next decade. And as a result, those things that we do, just like in those great revivals over the past, they will reverberate for years. They will reverberate for centuries, because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. What happened, the waves of power that were released on that day are still being released today. And that comes from the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, bringing that power to us. And we are to embrace it into an era, or embrace it over the area of our circumstances, over the area of how we feel or how things look, or what the world is saying and what it may picture it may look like. And so as a result of this triggering of this earthquake, the prayer, that's it, the powerful prayer will bring about the supernatural result that will bring God honor and order his kingdom on earth. And that's what the desire and prayer of the people of God is to be. So we see that when this became the heart cry and the possessing, really, the possessing position of the new church, then signs and wonders started following them, because God was giving acclamation to the fact that this is me, and I can show you me through what can only be done by me. and that's supernatural results. And that's what we want. That's what we need. That's what the world has to see in order to know that we are children of a living God, an all-powerful God, an almighty God, an everlasting God, an eternal God, a God that's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. It is a God that has unlimited ability. He has unlimited authority, and he has unlimited awareness of all that is going on. There are no limits to the God that we serve. And in order for the world to see it, and in order for us to fully know it, we have to surrender in this spiritual warfare to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And part of the prayer of the early church was, give us boldness so that without fear, and that without fear they would go forth in God's Word. That's first of all, they had to know it, and then have this boldness to go forth in it, and this boldness is a part of their spiritual warfare. And it will confirm the Word of God, and God confirmed his Word through them by manifesting these miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And then remember, here you go, that manifestation, miracles, that mantle. These are all things that God has been teaching us. He's been preparing us to understand the fullness of it. So often in Scripture it says, in the fullness of time. And I believe that fullness of time is coming because it is being fulfilled around us. And we're getting a understanding of all these things that he's tying them together. He's bringing them all, he's connecting the dots, and he's showing us a picture. And the closer we get in our relationship to him, the clearer we're going to see the picture, because he is going to reveal it to those that love him and diligently seek him. He's not going to reveal this picture to the stranger on the corner that say they are. He's going to reveal this to the one at his table that he know is becoming a one with the Father and Son. And so that was our first PowerPoint. Our second PowerPoint in this prayer of the first church was insight is to reveal that God foreknows all things and is not surprised or discouraged when opposition rises against his people. And this is all a part of how you get the release of the oil of gladness. When you know God knows all these things, that he is not surprised, nor is he discouraged. He is aware. He's got the authority. He has the ability. And he can make something as massive as the universe. Then he has the ability to bring everything in that universe into divine order as to what he wants. He has the authority, because if he made the universe and all that's in it, then he has the authority to change it any way he wants. And he is unlimitedly aware, because this is not only did God have a mass container, the universe, he made all that it contained. The detailed parts of creation he made, and he manages it, micromanage and macromanage. He's not just involved in making extremely large things. He also is involved in making extremely small things. I love it. The author shares both swirling galaxies and twirling atoms occupy his attention. He is simultaneously aware of both and upholds both within the word of his power. And that's from Hebrews 1 and 3. And so when that becomes our focus, when that becomes our reality, when that becomes the spiritual promise and truth that we embrace and stand on, then there is no greater than our master. And there is no persecution that we cannot endure. And it will just not just endure, it will make something according, or produce something according to the will of God. So he said, in other words, God, Jesus is assuring us that we will face rejection, and we should not be surprised when it comes. in the midst of it all, God's purpose will prevail. Even when people resist and reject the word of the Lord, he is still on the throne. Whether they believe it or not doesn't make any difference, because not only is he on the throne, he made the throne and he made them. And so our point number three is intercessors in the early church ask God to set his attention on what their enemy has said and done. In order to throw out their intentions, counter their strategies, and overcome their oppression by his supreme wisdom and power. Now we're talking about that prayer strategy, that prayer watch, you know, and this is how we learn and grow when we get all of these things and we see God's purpose for it and his plan for it and his place for it, that we can get in position with them and we can possess. It says his attention, you know, Lord, your attention on what the enemy has done. And, you know, because we want to and we pray. And then when we pray in our watches in the night to thwart the plans and the strategies of the enemy, to counter them, to overcome their oppression, to cancel them, to destroy them, so that they do not proceed over the destiny to the destiny of the children of God. Those early covenant prayer warriors primarily positioned God for boldness, aggressive courage in the face of opposition and challenge. Their hope was to declare the word boldly. They knew God had done it before. And that's us remembering and knowing the word of God and that which God has done. That's the thing that he told the children of Israel. You do this and you'll remember. You won't forget what I did. You'll remember what I did and you'll remember how I did it. And you'll remember how your enemy responded to me doing it. So you need to look on this thing. That's what in the New Testament it tells us when we take communion. As often as you do this, you remember me. You are going to remember what I have done. I have caused a new covenant to be established in the earth realm, and that covenant is an eternal one, an all-powerful one, and there is nothing that can stand up against it, nor can change it, nor can take it from you, because God has given it to us. And that's the position of faith that he wants us to have, power of our prayers to move heaven on our behalf. And then the point number four we have is God promised the children of Israel that he would redeem them from the Egyptian bondage. When something, he said, with an outstretched arm. I love that. With an outstretched arm. When something is stretched out, it is extended beyond its ordinary limitations. So God was pledging to move them in an exceptional way, far beyond the normal barrier between the supernatural and the natural realm, above and beyond anything that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So that when the church prayed that God would stretch forth his hand, they were asking for the extraordinary to happen. Ask God for the big stuff. Ask him for the power, because that's the kind of God he is. We ask him for little things that we need to basically do on our own because he has empowered us to do it, and we need to just ask for boldness to do it. And they said, new covenant sons and daughters, and that's us, new covenant sons and daughters, have been chosen to be the source of signs and wonders to the world. This is a major part of our calling as prophesied in Isaiah 8 and 18 and confirmed in Hebrew 12:11-13. So we have to know who we are. Signs are exceptional supernatural happenings that are sent by God to confirm the messianic ship of Jesus. the truth of biblical doctrine, something God has said, or someone he has anointed. That's why signs come. They come to confirm the fact that God is true, his word is true, his son is the redeemer, and everything that the people he anoints is true, because he confirms it through signs and wonders. Though we are not to seek signs for our own sake, the Bible promises that signs will follow us. God wants to give us signs if our hearts are right. And that's in Isaiah 7 and 11. Then wonders are extraordinary supernatural happenings that awaken worshipful awe in the hearts of those who behold such divine intervention. Remember, we talked about the Hebrew time of the year of Teshuvah, bringing to a place of 10 days of awe, of wonder, of looking at the extraordinary supernatural happening that will awaken a worship in our hearts that cannot even be distracted because of the divine intervention we have seen and witnessed, and we're remembering it. Both signs and wonders are accomplished in the name of Jesus, by his authority and for his glory. And to speak in his name is to speak as an oracle of God, as a representative bearing his authority. And remember, that authority, and that authority is without limit. He is still Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. And through him and his blood, through the blood of Jesus, it flows to us so that we now can be that new covenant sons and daughter generation that has been chosen as the source of the heavens, signs, when wonders, so that the world might know who Jesus is. And that's our chapter, the power of the early church. That is our the point that he brings. I think what stuck out to me was the first point, that God's unlimited ability. I love it where he says he created the universe, and then in us he created a universe of emotions, a universe of thought, a universe, and that's just how profoundly we are made. That's how profoundly we are made. And so when we realize that, we realize he says his thoughts are of us more than the grains of sand on the sea. And you think of just the vastness of that kind of a making, and then to be aware of all of it, to have the authority over all of it, and without limit, and the ability to cause it forth for his good pleasure, then we're pretty much in good hands. We are definitely in good hands. And so, as we come really to the close of this particular book, and somebody was on the line. Insights, revelation, inspiration. Anybody?
Oh, Overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
I like it because all through our learning, God said that we will show the signs. We don't need a sign, and we don't have to wonder when we believe and do what God say, because we'll be making the signs and allowing the non-believers to find out how did we do those things. And here in when Peter and John with the cripple beggar, when the people saw what they had done, they heard what they had said, and then they believed. So as you were saying, a lot of time we don't go about doing what God has told us to do because of fear. And then when we don't do it, we won't bring people out of the darkness. But once we hear God and we bold enough to do what he say, people will see the miraculous things that God is utilizing us to do. And I thank God that that boldness, you know, the fear is gone. And once you know that it's God, you can do it and you can say it. And that comes with anything, whether we waiting in line in at the store. I was laughing because people were fussing, and the lady looked at me and she said, come on, open up the next line. But I said, you're supposed to be told the next person. You know, there's certain things that God would have us do, and we can help other people do what they're doing. And I thank God that he reveals himself not only through his nature as the weather and the rain, the sun shining, and the trees, everything. If we look close enough, we can see God in it. If we're looking for God, and he says, seek me first. So when we're looking close enough, we can see God even in the devil's work, because Satan can't do nothing without God. So I just thank God for revealing himself, letting us know he is the creator and he is the owner of all things. And basically what he's saying from Genesis to Revelation is, I am the Lord thy God. So that's my insight. And even with when you go into different Bible aids, because, you know, I look at the books and the prayers, and I'm waiting for them sevenfold spirits, because God gave me that years ago. But when we take this Bible, King James Bible, we still have to meditate and get a revelation from God. So, you know, because these King James Version is not all that he wrote. And when we go overseas, we see there are other books. And even at the end of John told us that everything that Jesus did couldn't even be put in the book. So it's come to the point that we must believe that God is God. And I always say it ain't no more. So I just love it. Love listening in this hour, and it just encourages me. And it increased my strength to be bolder in the Lord, because I used to didn't say nothing. But now,
amen.
So it when we let go and let God, it's already done.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Anybody else?
Somebody go ahead.
You were speaking first, so just in courtesy, please.
I just want to say, well, good morning, everyone, and thank God. That was just an awesome insight, how you started it out and the ending of it, and I got so much revelation and truth from it. But when you were talking about the wonders, and the name of God came up, he's so sovereign. He do what he want to do, when he want to do it, how he want to do it, where he want to do it, and who he want to do it with. And it just, he is so awesome and amazing, and when you just study his word and just stay in it and stay in his presence, it just gives you so much fullness and joy. And what you did today was just powerful, and thank you for what God gave you, the revelation and the truth, and just looking forward to even the new book, to the sevenfold. So to God,
amen.
God, I love you all, and I just thank God
amen.
For his word.
You too. Amen. Amen. All right. Elder.
Good morning. I just wanted
good
to say
morning.
That the PowerPoint that kind of stuck out for me was point number two. And it's one of those things where, you know, I've heard it countless times over and over and over again, but
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's one of those things that the enemy can certainly steal from us, the certainty
mm-hmm.
that God is not taken by surprise by anything that happens to us. So when
right.
I see that verse at John 15:20, where it says, a servant is not greater than his master, if they persecuted
mm-hmm.
me, they will also persecute you. And a lot of times it seems that in the body, people are just taken back like, my goodness, why is this happening to me? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like a why not you? And
right.
and I think that when we, you know, I hate to say mature because then people are like, oh, you don't think I'm mature, you think I'm immature. But as we mature, we need to understand
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
stuff's going to happen because that's the way it's designed. It's designed
right.
that we become persecuted. It is designed
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, the enemy is just on his job, doing what he
mm-hmm.
can do while he has an opportunity to do it, you know. And so when it talks about he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and those kinds of things, that he's doing just what he's supposed to do. And then it's a one little section in there at the end. It says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble or should not be
yeah.
offended. And I think a lot of time we find ourselves either being stuck in offense and, you
mm-hmm.
know, offense where we become no good, but we lose some of our effectiveness on what we can share because we're so outdone by what has happened in our own personal situation, you know, when
mm-hmm.
he says, you know, I'm telling you this so you won't be offended,
mm-hmm.
so you won't
right.
be caught up. And it says, in other words, Jesus was assuring us that we will face rejection and that we should not be surprised
mm-hmm.
when it comes. In the midst of it,
mm-hmm.
in the midst of it all, God's purpose will prevail for us. And I think that's what we have to
mm-hmm.
remember. In the midst of it all, God's purpose will prevail for us. Even when people
yeah.
resist and reject the word of the Lord, he is still
mm-hmm.
on the throne. And so,
yeah.
you know, a lot of times people will marvel and say, oh, I wonder how they got through this or how somebody got through that. And it's just one step at a time, one day at a time, which is what's required for all of us. And we have the Holy Spirit indwelt to enable us to persist through whatever it is that has come our way. But when we act like we don't know and we're surprised or we're just so overwhelmed that we just can't, you know, we just can't function.
Mm-hmm.
And then we become just wounded, you know, so we miss the mark or miss the intent of how we're supposed to be showing up for service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I say service, I mean God's service, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
world, that we should be able to keep going, because if we really believe that he's going to make a way, that all things are working
mm-hmm.
together, then we are trusting that something's getting ready to happen, that I'm just going to do what
right.
I know to do based on God's word, and then I'm going to trust him
mm-hmm.
either to send somebody as the Lord
mm-hmm.
of hosts, the God of hosts, to send somebody
mm-hmm.
to do something miraculous in the atmosphere, to
mm-hmm.
have some other kind of extraordinary situation take place, have the king's heart turn, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that God's word is true and he is faithful. And because he has promised, this morning, you know, obviously it's 9/11, and I think back, you know, how they say everybody knows where they were when certain things happen. And it just made me, I just reflected just for a moment that, wow, when that was going on, maybe the year after, even the whole year after that, the country was in such a crazy state. It's like, will we ever get back to any kind of
anything,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone to New York maybe 2 years after it had happened, and
mm-hmm.
everything was still very weird there because I had been there a couple
mm-hmm.
times before. But it's amazing. Now here
mm-hmm.
we are 19 years later, and, of course, we remember it, but
mm-hmm.
life has gone back on. A lot of the fear and anxiety
mm-hmm.
that we were experiencing, wondering if
mm-hmm.
Chicago's going to be next. You know, they were closing down airports and, you know, all those kinds of things on how
mm-hmm.
life keeps going. You know, and even though
mm-hmm.
it seemed like that was an overwhelm, could never even imagine being bombed on American soil. I mean, it just didn't
mm-hmm.
never even thought about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how it became such a pervasive thought, just like the pandemic is just a pervasive thought. But
mm-hmm.
then it quells, you know, it starts to ease up as
mm-hmm.
we become, you know, as we become more comfortable. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's just that things
mm-hmm.
don't stay the same, that, you know, everything changes and we need to know that. So when we feel despondent and depressed and discouraged,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing that things can change on a, you know, on a dime, as they say, can turn on a dime.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you
God
so much for,
yeah.
right. Thank you so much for bringing that out too, about 9/11, about the situation in the world at that time, and just, you know, like you say, we become comfortable back in another place, as though, you know, not I won't say that it didn't happen, but with a lot of people, I had forgotten, and I knew that it was coming. And yet, you know, I can look at the date and you would think it would trigger, but it didn't until you said something. So I appreciate you doing that, because there were people that definitely lives never been the same. But I also think that it caused some people to look up and to reassess and to get in line with God, because of understanding life can change in the blink of an eye. And no matter what you possess, it can't change that. It is what it is. And because I was thinking the other day how they recovered, and it's just a sidebar, but from 9/11, it was definitely a institute where a lot of data was kept, a lot of information, financial information and that sort of thing on people's lives and things, their portfolios and companies. Information and how we are driven by information. It's like, how did they recover that information? Or did they just make up some new information? Because they couldn't recover it. But there's so much that we just...
The latter of the two.
Yeah, I know, right. So they just decided it ought to be this way, that way, the other. So whoever was in bad faith may not be in bad, whatever. But you know what? That's what man does. But what God does is give us a peace of knowing He is in charge of us. And whatever they do, the bottom line is going to be the day is coming and there will be a reckoning. And His records have not been destroyed. Okay? And so they're gonna have to face that. And so I do think that periodically He tries to shape things so that we can look up to Him. Shape things so that we can acknowledge something greater than our everyday and what we think is our routine. And it's only a routine because He lets it be one, because He knows how creature of habits we are. So He lets the sun come up the same, you know, in the morning and go down in the evening and the moon come up, because He doesn't have to have an order like that. But He gave it that order because we needed it. We needed it. His creation needed that kind of order. Because when we get to heaven, it ain't never going down, so the sun will always be up. But that's mm-hmm. because we won't need that rest. We won't need that kind of routine, because what we will have will always be this living joy that never ceases. So it doesn't need the rest. It doesn't need the this, that, or the other, because, you know, it's heaven. And so I do. I appreciate you bringing that up. And we should always keep those and those that are any and all those that have been subject to catastrophic events in our prayers,
whether it's New Orleans or the pandemic or the wars overseas and in the places where atrocities are happening that we don't know about, where those in third countries are being exploited and oppressed, and there's just so much evil rampant all over, and most of it is because of greed. It's because of the greed of the few and then the indifference of the majority. And so we have to become those intercessor, powerful, seasoned intercessor warriors on behalf of God's world and God's creation, whether it's the change in the climate that is disrupting the lives of the creatures that God has created. No matter what it is, he has given us the dominion to bring order in that place. And so we need to grab this power and to unleash it through the anointing oils on the lives of those who have been chosen and sent and anointed. And so anybody else, revelation, insight, inspiration? A lot of people on the line. I want to thank everybody for joining us, people from out of town. Praise the Lord. We're so happy that you're joining our fellowship. You're definitely welcome to come at any time, 9 to 10 every Friday. God willing, we will be here. Our new book is The Sevenfold Spirit of God by Keith Miller. We'll look at the introduction next week. I pray everybody has that book. And if not, you should get it. It's going to be good. Amen. But all of the books that he gives us are good. So, again, as I say, are there any more comments, insight? Okay. Well, I would like to definitely invite everybody to sign up for the prophetic conference tomorrow via Zoom from 10 to 12. If you need more information, just give me a call, 630-701-4303, overseer. It's going to be hosted by the Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson, Apostle Shanette, and others in the prophetic realm. Guests are going to be there bringing presentations, so it should be a very powerful time of healing prophetically. This is the month and the season of healing. We had a healing through fellowship, a healing through the prophetic, and it's going to be a healing through the sounds of heaven, which is third Sunday, and church dedication. And CCTI is starting this Monday. Definitely want to be a part of that. And like I said, if you need information on any of these, just give me a call, and I can shoot you an email about all of the upcoming events of the ministry. And again, this is Communion Sunday coming up for laborers and CCTI, and a powerful studying on Wednesday on the oils that were released over the summer. So the 12 oils that were released over the summer are being presented on our Wednesday gathering for spiritual growth and development. Again, if you need further information, just give me a call and I can get it out to you. I pray that I have covered everything. So, okay. So we will meet again, God willing, next Friday. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of our Friday Fellowship of Learners. This is your host, Overseer Paul. God bless you.
God bless. Have a good weekend.
Have a blessed day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.